seven men that had spent have spent many, many years in the ministry, going over with the four guys that we're ordaining today, and they were asked just about every question that could be asked, and it took about two and a half hours, and at the end of that meeting, a request was made by Brian Alexander to accept these four and proceed on with their ordination council. So I'm giving you that report because I want you to know that these guys did pass the test. I did see them nervous for once. I was glad to see that. And the men that came are godly men, and they were highly just pleased with the whole meeting, and so we're thankful for that. I've asked Keith Boggs, who is head of Real Momentum. If you'll not forget, not too long ago we had our men's revival here, and he is part of Woodstock Baptist Church, where Johnny Hunt used to be. And Keith is he loves the Lord, and he knows what it means to have a quiver full in his siblings. He's got 10 children, and I was kind of hoping they'd come today, but they had to go to Woodstock, and it's hard to kind of split up the family. But Keith, if you would come and share your heart and give these candidates a charge from you, and we truly will give him a warm welcome, if you would, here today, and appreciate it.
Pastor, God bless you. All right. Hey, if you got your Bible, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Honored to be with Pastor Mike, and I do stand in affirmation of not only the work in these men's lives and their families, but also the work in this church. What a blessing to see four men come before ordination today, and I'm honored to be a part of just preaching what is called the charge to the men. So if you're a man, I pray that you would sit up and take notes as well, not just to four men, but every man in the house, right? If you're trying to raise a son, I hope you'd pay attention to the scriptures as well, that God would speak to you and encourage you in this privilege that we have in the part of the body of Christ. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read verse 14 down through the end of the chapter, and then I'm going to come back to 1 Timothy in just a few minutes in chapter 4 and give three thoughts from that, and then I want to just give some clarifying thoughts at the end that I think will help each one of you men as we walk together in this thing called the gospel ministry. The Bible says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words with no or to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase the more to godliness, to ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will not be a vessel for honor, sanctified. Excuse me, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in all humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will." Let's pray together. Father, these words and this time is a reality that we all stand in need of. And I pray in Jesus' name as we bow before you today, and really just coming before you and these men and this church is a great honor for me. And at the same time, I know it's a great honor for this church.
and these men. So I pray as they navigate the call in their life, number one, to be a man, and from that, to be the man you want them to be in every part of their life, I pray that you'll give them clarity and conviction to live in a compelling way in a world that needs to see Christ as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you'd encourage them today. I pray, God, they would be equipped today in some form and fashion based upon the words that not only they'll hear from me, but also their pastor. Encourage the body of Christ today. Thank you for the work of the ministry. Thank you for the call of God on our lives. Whether we are ordained or not, the call is still there. So help us, God, to live that out, to embrace all of that and what it entails to be the men and women you've called us to be in a day that desperately needs to hear the gospel. In clarity and in truth, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So my call today would be to challenge these men to go be God's man. Not just to be men of God, but God's man in a day that is requiring that. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, ask an even clarifying question in culture today that even speaks to the church and even challenges the culture. It says this, a faithful man who can find. So the challenge to be not only is answering the question today, but also the day in which we live in, to be the man God wants us to be. When I was young and experienced the same thing you did, I recognized it was a sobering time for me, and I even navigated some stuff even after that that really clarified the call more in my own life. But the America I lived in back then is totally different than the America that you're living in. The church back then is totally different than the church that you're a part of today. And I'm excited about God raising up these men to really become the man God wants them to be in this day and time. And my prayer would be that God would help you to be a clear picture of the gospel as you live it out. So as you think about this, the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, if you turn over there real quick and note the passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, and as it speaks to young men primarily, I think it speaks to all of us collectively. Notice the scripture where it says this, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. The Bible goes on to say, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Three things. Number one, as you recognize the call of God on your life, as you recognize the body of Christ in which you are a part of, the kingdom of God which you're seeking to advance, number one, lead spiritually. Lead spiritually. The Bible says there in verse number 12, give attention. It means to pay attention, a sense of applying, connecting to what God would have you to embrace and experience as you live out the call of God on your life. In verse 13 primarily, pay attention. Apply the truth in your own life, but at the same time, read, experience the exhortation of God's Word, really not only from your personal journey and personal devotional life, but the preaching of God's Word, the living of God's Word is really where He's after here. So this doctrine is not only the instruction and teaching, but it's also the life that God wants you to live. It's the illustration coming alive right before our eyes. So as you think about your own personal life and journey, I would ask you to be humble and teachable every step of the way. Life will throw you curveballs. Ministry will throw you curveballs. Your wife will. Your children will. So be sensitive to the call of God on your life in every aspect of it and be willing to learn and apply the truth of God's Word in everything. I love the verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15 through 17. It says this. Listen to this. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Guard the relationship you have with God in your own hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as they will do, as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. 2 Timothy, we've already read it, verse number 15 in chapter 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth and living it out. So as you think about living spiritually, my prayer would be that you would connect, number one, and cultivate that relationship you have with Almighty God. That's where it's all going to come from. At the end of the day, you'll stand before Him and give an account. So learn what you believe with intentionality and inspiration and desire to live it out. Number two, live supernaturally. That's the call of God on every Christian's life. Live a supernatural life. Live a life that nobody else can define other than Christ. Let Him write the story. Verse number 12, Paul teaches Timothy and tells Timothy to be an example. It means to be a model. It means to be a stamp. Or in other words, Timothy, scar this world you live in. Make a difference, a notable difference in every part of your life, at home, in your neighborhood, in your church, in the community which you live in. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, he says, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Look at this, verse 15, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely over to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So as you think about neglecting the gift, may that not be so in your own life. Guard well the gift that is in you. Be careful of that. Don't make light of that gift. Don't cast it aside. Guard well that gift that God's given you, the call on your life, the gift of salvation, the gift of all that you experience in ministry, how that plays out. Know that God's given you a gift, and to God be the glory. Meditate on these things he mentions there in that passage. It means to take care of. Take care of some things. Take care of your relationship with God. Take care of your family. Take care of your calling. Take care of the ability which God wants to give on the other side of that to the other people that you're ministering to. It also means to revolve. It's like a revolver that goes around and around, or to roll over in your own mind. So meditate on these things. Come to know by experience the thing that God's given you in terms of a call on your life. He says to give yourself entirely to. It's almost like an instrument to be played like it ought to be played. I love worship, and we just experienced some of that. Just hearing the voices, seeing the instruments being played, they're being used entirely through the songs and through the ministry that we've been able to embrace in terms of worship to help us connect with God. A same can be said about a man being called of God. That you would give yourself entirely to that. Not only a positional relationship with God, but a transformational relationship with God that God would use for the glory of God. In other words, grow where you're planted and watch what God does with that. And I would like to say this. Simply lived a poured out life. Leave nothing back. Don't put anything in reserve. Live a poured out life. Give all that you are, all that you have, in such a way that magnifies and honors God in every single way. And by the way, you can't do that in the flesh. It's going to be done by the supernatural power and spirit that comes in you and comes through you. My prayer oftentimes is, God, as you come in me, please come out of me for the glory and the power of God. So you're going somewhere, men. Act like it. Live a supernatural life for the glory of God. As you think about this, he mentions there a warning or two in the passage that we've looked at, another passage as well in 1 Peter chapter 3. So I just found this week. It was thoughts to young men. It came at a perfect time in my own life, having to raise young boys and really trying to seek a ministry that goes after young men. It was written by J.C. Ryle, and he said this in 1886. Listen to it. Be very sure of this. People never reject the Bible because they cannot understand it. They understand it too well. They understand that it condemns their own behavior. They understand that it witnesses against their own souls and sins. They understand that it summons them to judgment. And he goes on to say in that book, it says this. He says, then they try to believe that it's false and useless because they don't like to believe that it is true. An evil lifestyle might always raise an objection to this book. Men question the truth of Christianity because they hate the practice of it. In Jesus' name, never hate the practice of living out the Word of God. As we heard yesterday, that the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And then number three, love sacrificially. He says to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What a powerful statement in the Word of God. From verse number 16, the statement simply says this, to pay attention to your life. Take care of yourself means to take also care of your family. He's connecting not only yourself, but he also has relationships in mind. Not just your relationship with your family, but those relationships in the faith and of the faith and by the faith and for the faith. Take heed to yourself. It's a big deal in terms of your spiritual health and what the health looks like in other people's lives. And then he adds a connotation and really a clarifying statement to this. He says, and to the doctrine. Pay attention to the work of God and the Word of God in your life. The doctrine is a big, big deal in this day and time that we're living in. And thank God for the doctrine God's given us. Amen. My prayer would be to you men today, simply that God's given you the Word of God. In Jesus' name, don't dilute it. Don't depart from it. Don't dialogue against it. In Jesus' name, declare to live it for the glory of God and watch it come alive in every single aspect of your life and praise Him for it every single step of the way. And you'll be grateful you did. Continue, He says, continue. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It means to remain a man of God, to gain strength as a man of God. And what a powerful, powerful picture. The Bible says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. As I think about the call of God on your life, especially as you men that are married, and one day, Tristan, you will be married. You know, not only take care of yourself, but also take care of her. Take care of your children. Love them, love her, and then love the ministry God's called you to, primarily beginning in your own home. As I think about this time we have together today, I just wrote down 10 simple words, not 10, 8 simple words that I want you to write down if you can, man. Just write these simple things down. If you're a congregant today, would you write down these 10 things to pray over these men? 10 simple things. They're just 10 words. They all start with an S. And I just would encourage you to think about this in connection to the passage we just read. And I pray God would use it in your life, okay? Number one, guard well your soul. Guard well your soul. Let God minister to your soul. Take care of your soul. Minister, Lord Jesus, to my soul. Minister, Lord God Almighty, to my soul. Spirit, minister to my soul. Body of Christ, minister to my soul. Here's another one. Guard well the Scriptures. Guard well the Word of God. Let the Word of God be your compass in every part of your life. Depart not from the Word of God. And then the other one, guard well your supplications, which means to be a man of prayer. Understand what you're praying about. Understand who you're praying to. Understand who you're praying for. You may not even can put words to your prayer life and what you're feeling and experiencing in this call on your life. But I tell you, in Jesus' name, He does. So guard well the supplications that God is making, interceding in your own personal journey in life. Guard well the Spirit of God. Never grieve the Spirit of God. Never quench the Spirit of God. Guard well the Spirit of God. Guard well your spouse. Guard well your spouse. Dear brothers, guard well your sons and daughters. Guard well your sons and daughters. These ought to be things that you're aiming for. You're hoping to touch heaven with. Guard well the saints, the body of Christ. What a privilege to shepherd the flock of God and minister as God would have you to. And then lastly, guard well sinners. Guard well, sinners. I close with two thoughts from godly men. Listen to the words of the founder of Southwestern Seminary, B.H. Carroll. He said, I magnify my office, O my God, as I get nearer home. I can say more truthfully every year, I think that God had put me in the ministry, in this office. I thank Him that He would not let me have any other, that He shut me up to His glorious work, and when I am able to get home among the blessed on the bank of the everlasting deliverance and look back toward time and all of its clouds and sorrows and pains and privations, I expect to stand up and shout for joy that down there in the fog and mist, down there in the dust and struggle, God let me be a preacher. I magnify my office in life. I magnify it in death. I magnify it in heaven. I magnify it whether rich or poor, whether sick or well, whether strong or weak, anywhere, everywhere, among all people, in any crowd. Lord God, I am glad that I am a preacher. I am a preacher of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon was influenced heavily by Henry Varley. He was a revivalist in Britain. They were talking one day, and God used this statement significantly in the life of B.H. Carroll has made his way back to Britain. The same way it was also influenced on C.H. Spurgeon as he was headed back to Chicago. simply said this, the world is yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to Him. And Spurgeon said this, by God's help, I'll be that man. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I admonish you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go be the man God wants you to be. Submitted to Him as the one true God and watch what He does in each and every step of the way. I love you. I believe in you. I'm excited for you. Expect God to do great things and lead courageously, being the man God wants you to be and taking other men with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these dear godly men and the ministry of this wonderful church and the leadership of Pastor Mike and his precious wife and all the staff and all the ones that make up the leadership here. We say to God be the glory. And I pray, God, that you'll touch these dear godly men. I pray, God, that the testimony and witness of these men would speak clarity in this world we live in. I bless you for their wives and for their children. God, I bless you in the future for their children's children. I expect you to move powerfully in them and through them as they navigate life and the call that you've given them. Lord, bring clarity. God, bring conviction and help them make a difference ultimately for you. And may they hear when it's all said and done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We ask this in Jesus' name.